This is Susan Hidalgo-Smith for Conversations in Medicine. Our guest today is Dr. John Finley. He is a professor with the School of Nutrition and Food Science at the Louisiana State University Agricultural Center. Welcome, Dr. Finley.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
This may seem too good to believe for our listeners, but you are a study leader along with your colleagues at LSU, and the topic was investigation of cocoa. Tell us how you got started.
We were interested in cocoa because for hundreds of years it has purported to have health benefits. And so we wanted to try to understand what those benefits were coming from. There's some components in cocoa that are easily absorbed, and people kind of knew that they were beneficial, but there's a large portion that was non-digestible, and we thought there was probably benefits there. And so the young lady, Maria Moore, that worked in my lab wanted to investigate that further, and it seemed like a good thing, so we went for it.
You tested three cocoa powders. How did you do this?
We took a lightly processed or minimally processed cocoa powder, a moderately processed, and then a Dutch or alkaline-treated cocoa powder, and we studied how they would be digested in the normal digestive tract. So we modeled first the stomach, then the small intestine, and then we got rid of everything that was digested there, and we looked at the non-digestible portion of that material, and we fed that to an inoculum of colonic bacteria or microbiome from human donors, and then we looked at the decomposition products that occurred during that, what we call colonic fermentation.
Cocoa powder. Well, it's been known by man for many centuries, right?
Correct.
How far back does its history go?
It was used by the Incas. Montezuma used it as a beverage for the wealthy or for the elite in his time. And then the Spanish brought it to Europe, and it went through various peaks and valleys of purported health benefits. And sometimes it was only allowed for the rich. Sometimes it was only, it was allowed for everyone. But people always seem to concede that there was benefits from it. And there is documentation that it helps reduce blood pressure. That's very well done work. Certainly there's a likelihood of cardiovascular benefits. And what we discovered is maybe some of the compounds that are actually responsible for that, for those benefits.
Is cocoa poorly digested and absorbed initially, but there's a turnaround towards the end?
No, that's a very good question, Susan. It is, a portion of it is readily digested and absorbed, but a fairly large portion is not well digested, and that is what ends up getting down in our lower GI tract and becomes fermented by the microbes.
Does some of the content in chocolate exhibit anti-inflammatory activity?
Yes, the epicatechins and catechins that are there normally have been shown to have an inflammatory activity, but they're not 100% absorbed. They're not well absorbed necessarily. So some of those also get down in the lower GI tract. But what we looked at were polymers of those materials. So a whole bunch of them linked together by chemical bonds, and then the bacteria are able to break those chemical bonds in different ways. And then we looked at the little molecules that are formed that are easily absorbed into the bloodstream and showed the anti-inflammatory activity.
It lessens the inflammation of cardiovascular tissue, reducing the long-term risk of stroke. Is this how it works its magic?
I wouldn't call it magic, but yes, it does produce the benefit of reducing inflammation and probably the likelihood of stroke and some of the other cardiovascular events that we experience, yes.
Would you expound upon this one? Humans can't digest these products, but good bacteria like to eat. Please explain.
From the time we're infants, we have thousands of different types of bacteria in our lower gastrointestinal tract. At various times, depending on what material reaches our lower GI tract, different bacteria will flourish. And these are the bacteria that can use whatever this material is. So in this case, we have dietary fiber from cocoa. So there's certain microbes that seem to be able to use that more effectively. And if they produce short chain fatty acids, then they become classified as probiotic bacteria. And these prebiotic compounds are the compounds that they like to eat.
Thank you so much. And this is Susan Hidalgo-Smith, NB Cole editor for Conversations in Medicine.